And the last point I just want to make on this whole idea of aggregation, that's never been an issue in this below at all. The issue of aggregation is, can a defendant aggregate the class claims for disgorgement of profits? We put in our removal petition that is not our position. We're not removing because we can aggregate all the class members' profits. The DelVecchio case that they cited stands for that proposition, and we were aware of that case. So we put that in our removal. We removed it because it appeared that the plaintiff might be seeking individual disgorgement of profits for their own individual case in addition in their class case. If the court has no further questions, all I'd like to comment on the class issue is we don't see that that's an abuse of discretion in any way, shape, or form. The standard for an abuse of discretion for review of class certification is very high. We think the decision was well-written and is consistent with the cases on certification in other jurisdictions.
Thank you, Mr. Murray.
Thank you.
Mr. Stein, how much time?
3.5 minutes.
I'll be quick, Your Honors.
Thank you. I think Mr. Murphy's concession at the end that the disgorgement of an aggregated profit is not proper to establish jurisdiction ends the issue. You can't say what we want to do is take the total amount of profits that were made from you and from all the other consumers in Illinois and use that as the basis for determining the amount in controversy and say, but we're not going to call it aggregation so that it meets the jurisdictional requirements. It is aggregation. Every court that has looked at this, it says it's aggregation. We cited cases from every other circuit court. It doesn't matter if the plaintiff makes it or if a defendant makes the allegation on removal. The issue in those cases has always been whether it's a permissible form of aggregation, namely the common undivided interest. In this case, Koch's own pleadings, even in their brief here at pages 43 and 45, show us they understand it's aggregation. I mean, there's just nothing else you can call it. The district court was able to sever profits made from Ms. O'Shana's purchases from the profits made by everybody's purchases. And no matter what you do, that is aggregation, and aggregation simply is not allowed as a basis for establishing jurisdiction, regardless of who alleges it or when. And Koch has conceded that that's not a basis. Aggregation is not a basis for jurisdiction. On the class issue, I know my time is short, so I just want to say if the court reaches that, I think there really is a very important and far-reaching issue here, because what you have is a situation where it's clear millions of consumers are being deceived into purchasing a product they went to purchase. Not 100% of the consumers, but many millions. And to say that federal courts are powerless to address that situation is really quite troubling, especially in light of the Class Action Fairness Act and the expanded role that the federal courts are going to have here. And this is what Judge Posner addressed in the Carnegie decision, which we cited and which the district court didn't apply. If you look at the nuts and bolts of what a trial in this case would have looked like, and we're talking probably a 4 or 5 day trial, all but 5 or 10 minutes of it would have been spent on things that are unquestionably common. That's what's eating up the lawyer's time, the expenses, and everything else. The issue of how Coke markets its products, what its profits were, what its knowledge was as to deceiving consumers, whether consumers were deceived, whether the statement of, or the lack of a statement of Sacrament and Diet Coke is material. The Illinois Supreme Court has made it quite clear that under the Consumer Fraud Act, materiality is objective. It's not a subjective standard. That's in the Connick case. All these things, you'd only need to try once, and that's what takes the time. The issue of would a particular plaintiff or class member have not purchased the product or reduced their purchases once they had that knowledge, that's about 5 minutes of testimony. So I think if the court finds jurisdiction, it's really quite important that it be remanded, and under the Carnegie opinion, at least the district court be required to look at, you know, spending, taking all the work that's been done in this case and making good use of it and trying the issues of liability and whether Koch violated the law, and then dealing with the issues of individual damages along the lines that Judge Posner suggested in the Carnegie case. And as for an abuse of discretion, and certainly I mean no disrespect to the district court, she just did not consider that possibility and therefore didn't exercise her discretion on that possibility. Unless the court has any further questions, I see my time's expired.
Thank you, Mr. Stein.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case will be taken.